Vav and Yosim and Shin Mem. We did Sif Gimel. We did the Mishabur and Sif Gimel. But there's Bir Alach over here. So there's two of them. I'm just going to look at the second one. It's the last line on page 376. So he deals with this, the din of the Bach, in the case where you had wax which fell on top of a letter that the Bach said removing the wax, and now the letter's not visible because of the wax, and you want to remove the wax to be able to read the letter. He calls that's a form of moichik amanas lichtoich. And this is included the Shabbos, the Taz, the Yeraba, the Magen Rom all seem to agree with the Bach. So I'm Shabrushik Takti Shom Ladina Dibri Abach Siato. I quoted this statement of the Bach and his followers that removing the wax is called Moichik Amanas Lichtoiv. Vafte B'Shuvah Shrus Yaakov Chelik Beis Simon Dalad. Paula goes that the Shrus Yaakov argues on the Bach. The Saras Hashabah Me'aklaf Einu B'Klal Moichik. He does not see that removing the wax is called erasing. But the only thing it makes sense Kim B'Klal Me'machik. If he smooths it out as he's removing it, so that's memachik, he's smoothing something. Okay. And skip the brackets. In the brackets, Mash'ein can skip down like three, the four, the one, two, three.
I don't see any.
The fifth line, second to last word on the line. Mash'ein can kishashava noitif ala klaf. In the case over here where the wax fell onto a piece of the parchment or on paper, emis daba kolkach, mahavik aksav besoicha command the munuch bekufsa. So that the Shrus Yaakov writes that over here we look at it as if there's a covering on top of the ksav, which is still there. It's not considered that you have removed the ksav. The ksav is still there, and there's something on top of it. So it's like it's in a box. The Shrus Yaakov brings a raya. The betfilin ain nifso mach mishlo kisidun kishasil chashava. Kaleb simin lama beis sifkatan chav gimel b'magen avram. So the lachas by tefillin don't have to be written in the correct order. So if the sefer made a mistake in a letter, and let's say, for example, you start with the parsha of Kadesh, or the Resha Mashalemur, Kadesh Kobachar Kapetakal Rechem, and he makes a mistake somewhere in the word Kadesh, so everything written after that is no good. It's written out of order. It has to be written in order. So he has to make sure every letter is written properly. So what about the following scenario? Everything was written correctly, but our surfer was writing by the light of a candle. And now, so the wax dripped on top of a letter. So then he goes and removes the letter. So now the letter, when the wax dripped on the... So the luck is like this. Let's say ink dripped on the letter. So then the letter is no longer a letter, because the ink basically merges with the letter. So you don't have a letter there anymore. And then when you scrape away the ink and you want to write a new letter, that letter is written out of order, so the whole tilin is possible. But if wax drips on top of the letter, it's still kosher. You remove it and it's still kosher. It means we don't look at it as if the letter has been erased by being covered by the wax, and therefore it's not considered rewriting it when you take the wax off. We look at the wax as just a covering over the letter, which is still there. So that's why the tefillin are considered in order. So this is what Yaakov says, and that's a din over there back in Hitler's tefillin. Alkein kashagaru meisar shaba ena b'chal moichik kiim kemeisar kisim ilamala. He's taking off the cover over something that's not called moichik. Okay, so that's this was Yaakov's argument. So what is the pshat in the Bach? Because that nobody argues on that halacha. That is an accepted halacha. So he's going to bring later on that the Nishmas Adam asked this kasha on the Bach, And the Kveger also has the same kasher from the Shus Yaakov. And so, so what's the argument of the Bach? The source of Bach, v'chol analhu. So if you look, okay, how many? 14 lines down from the top. Second word of the line. The first one in the white, there's the word Cain. Mikol Malkum. Mamai say, Laharis Lahokol Negat Abach, Chol Hani Rabasa, Hanau, Shisharim Kamaisai. You should not paskin. So according to the Shus Yaakov, it's mutter to remove it. But no, do not paskin against the Bach. So you're going to say a Sor. A Sor is a Bach, Chol Hanau, the opinion of the Bach and the other Poiskim who follow him. Kim in the Mikol Malkum, Aksav Le Ace Atom, Atushtash, Aire Ashavu. Even though the letter is there, so regards to the but since it's not legible, you're not able to read it, and by removing the wax, you're making the letter legible. You're removing something to allow a ksiva. By Tilin, we do not consider that the letter has been obliterated. She apostle Hakach Mishim Shlokazidra, which would then make the Tilin out of order. So that's called Mechal Manas Lasakin. He brings the Kveger, also says that he argues like the Shus Yaakov is not called Moichik, but he says it is called Mesakin Mana, because the Maisa you have a letter which you can't read, and in the Sefer Torah you're supposed to read from the letters, and by removing the wax you're making the letter now that it's legible to you again, so that's a tikkun in the Sefer. So the problem is not Moichik, the problem is Mesakin Mana. That's what Kveger argues.
That should be for one letter then. Yeah.
What?
That would be even for one letter.
Even for one letter, yeah. Okay, that's a good point.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
He says, according to Kveger, the problem is Mesakin Mona, that you're, in some way, you're correcting the item over here being the Sefer Torah, then even one letter is, according to the Shus Yaakov, it's only probably two letters. Well, even the Shus Yaakov, even one letter is also Minaraisa. It's only two letters would be chayiv. According to Kveger, even one letter would be chayiv. Right.
Why would one letter be chayiv in this case? I don't follow. I apologize.
According to the Shus Yaakov, according to the Bach, this is the malach over here is moichik.
Right.
Moichik is only chayiv when it's amanas lichtav shtei osias, to write two letters. So if only one letter was covered by wax, so he would not be chayiv if he removes that wax.
Because, well, first of all, he's not removing the letter underneath the wax, right? So he's not really erasing anything, is he?
Stop. The Bach said. Go back a step.
Am I missing something, or did I get it wrong?
This was yesterday's year already. This is not the new chiddush. We're discussing that people argue in the Bach. This is the Bach. Yes, you saw the Bach yesterday. The Bach said like this. The Bach says. We saw from the Shulchan Aruch that the Malacha Moichik doesn't have to be that there's letters. If I have a empty piece of paper which I would like to write on, but there is a big splash of ink on it which is preventing me from writing on it, and I erase that ink, there's no letters there at all. That's called Moichik. So erasing doesn't have to be letters. Anything which is preventing you from writing, and now you remove it, allows you to write, that's called mochek.
Oh, so that's why you're saying the wax would prevent you from writing, so therefore it is mochek, according to that definition.
So now comes the Bach says over here, I'll tell you a bigger chiddush, that let's say I have wax on top of the letter, and when I remove the wax, the letter remains, but since the halacha is I cannot, the letter is not there, and not usable, mm-hmm. So removing the wax
makes the letter usable.
Makes the letter usable. So the removing of the wax is a form of ksiva, and this of moichik for ksiva, removing to give you a ksav. Not that you have to write the ksav, but then now you can use the ksav which is there. That's also called moichik amanas lichtav, amanas tesak, and it's called moichik to give you the benefit of the letters. That's what the Bach argues. So comes along Greg and says, no, it's not, because we don't consider the letter was as if it was gone and now you're getting the letter back. Fine. But it definitely is tikkun mana, because since you're not supposed to read from the Sefer Torah with the wax on it, and now by removing the wax, you can read from the Sefer Torah. So you have fixed the Sefer Torah. So but, the nafkamina is, how many letters do you have to do to be chayiv? So if it's because of moichik, you need two letters. If it's because of tikkun, so even one letter is enough. That's what Zev is arguing. That's a good point. Okay. But that much everybody agrees. If what fell on the letter was not wax but ink merges with the letter, and that's called you that there was no letter there. So now when you erase it, so you have a different problem. If you erase the whole thing, and you have to, it's not going to help you for Shabbos because now there's no letter there, right? If you just erase what's around the letter, and then you leave the letter, what you really have accomplished is what's called an halacha, that you, what's, write, let's say I want to write my tefillin, or write mezuzah, or I want to write a Sefer Torah by putting ink down and then scratching away and leaving the forms of letters. So that's possible. That's called choktoches, and that's not a valid, you have to, that's not a valid form of ksiva. So over here, that would be choktoches. So it wouldn't be kosher anyway.
What is
a ksiva
for Shabbos?
Choktoches is ksiva for Shabbos. But it would not ksiva for Sefer Torah. Okay. 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 Now, Take a look in the first wide line of the Berlacha. Veda. So he says, according to the approach of the Bach, so if some wax fell on a book, on a sefer, and then you closed it, and now you have the wax holding the two pages together, and it's on the letters. So yesh lezor shalom lefarker mizor lezo. So, according to the Bach, opening up that and breaking the wax and thereby getting the letter back would be considered moichik hamanas lichtov. Okay. So now, then skip down to the last two words on the page. Vehinei lefi mashabir v'chlusher kiveger v'simen lam beis the devik dinu kamadio ayin shom. He says, what about glue? So glue is somewhere in the middle of wax and ink. So ink, we understand, when ink falls on the letter, so basically it really merges with the letter. It's the same material. So you can't say where the letter is and where the ink is. It's all one thing. So that's like you have no letter anymore. The wax, Kreger basically agrees with the Shrus Yaakov that we look at it as if it's just the letter is there and it's covered. What about glue? Glue falls on the letter. So that Kreger proves back in Hilchos Tefillin that glue is more like dio. So the Gavi Tefillin, that would be a problem of that your Tefillin are now going to be puzzle. Wax on the Tefillin is kosher. Dio on the Tefillin is puzzle. Glue on the tefillin, Kreger points out over there, has the same din as the yo.
I thought yo was ink.
The question, what's the status of glue? Glue is somewhere between wax. Wax, basically, to a certain extent, really just sits on top. Doesn't really bond with it totally. That's why you could, when it gets a little bit brittle, you could sort of break it off. Glue,
right.
Mamish. So what's the status? But on the other hand, it's not the same material as the ink,
right,
of the letter.
But what's dyo? I thought dyo was the Hebrew word for ink.
Dyo is ink. Devek is the word for glue.
Right.
So devek is the same thing as dyo. The same halach as dyo, he says. The fizek shenidbeku hadap in lahadori bidevek v'makom ha'osius. So Kiviger says like this. According to Kiviger, understanding in the case where glue dripped on a page, and then the page is closed, and now there is glue on b'makom ha'osius. So yesh da ista deraisa shalafarkem hadori l'chuliyama.
It would seem you'd have a bigger problem that if you have glue that's on the page, and when you close another thing, now you've got two pages glued together, and if you try to pull it apart, you might rip might tear the cloth. I would think that's a bigger issue. No.
Okay. Well, not my page is not done with cloth because we don't have cloth on that. We're talking about books, pages of a book. So you wouldn't have the problem of cloth, but what's relevant is a situation where sometimes that would happen. Somebody came to me with this, the Shiloh. They had the Shiloh, Lachal Maisa, that they got a new sefer, and they realized that one of the pages, some glue had spread up and was sitting on top of the letters. So they wanted to know, can they open up that page? Now we're going to see later on that there's a regards to Korea, since you never meant to attach the two, it's not called Korea to pull it apart. So it's not called Korea, mitzad, the fact that you're ripping apart the pages. Well, okay, let's go back a step. The last sif in Simon Shemem tells us a fascinating idea. So the Malacha of Teifer is taking two items and sewing them together. So the Rambam points out from the Yerushalmi, I think it's the Yerushalmi, if I recall correctly, the Rambam points out that gluing something together is a tolda of sewing. The point of gluing is taking two things and attaching them together. So gluing is also doing the same thing as sewing. It's just not, it's not by sewing, it's by gluing. So gluing something together is a tolda of teifer, and therefore pulling apart two things which are glued is a tolda of is the malach of kareya is taking when you sewed it together and the stitches didn't sit right at two sides, you rip out the stitches and then you re-sew it. So it's kareya amanas litfer. So what about I mean, the Mishnah Berurah points out it's you don't need amanas litfer, you kareya amanas lasak, and any kareya which is considered a positive benefit is chayiv. So if gluing two parts, ten pages together is considered teifer, ripping them apart is kareya. So the Magen Rambam comes along and says, but if it fell there accidentally, you never meant they should be connected together, that's not called kareya. It was never called teifer to put it together, really, because they weren't supposed to be together. So it's not called kareya ripping it apart. So I don't have a problem with kareya, it's not ripping it apart. But now I have a problem over here that even if I don't rip out the letters, but if I, by opening it up, I uncover the glue which is on top of the letters, I have this problem of this bach over here. Right?
I don't understand. If something is a metzias, right? I mean, whether it was sewn together intentionally or not sewn together intentionally, it's still sewn together. If it's glued together, it's glued together whether it was intentional or not, no?
So we're going to see that this is a discussion by the Malacha of Kosher, which we discussed about it a little bit back when we had Kosher, and a little bit about the Malacha of Teufer. In a case where, let's say a person was untying his shoes, and they're in a nice bow, and he was untying them on Friday night, and by mistake he made a knot. Is he allowed to untie that knot? It's a knot. You can't untie a knot. So go to sleep in your shoes. So the halacha is he's allowed to untie the knot, because since the knot was not made intentionally, that's not a knot, which the halacha is mechayev as a knot, so therefore it's not considered untying matzah, which is the opposite of kosher, it's not considered matzah to untie it. It's also Magen Avraham. So Magen Avraham, the one way to understand the Magen Avraham is the yisoid of the halacha of kosher and possibly the halacha of teifer is combining two things. If I have no intent to combine them, they're not called combined. The fact that they're stuck together is not our definition of it. The point is to in some way make them as a unit. They're not a unit. I don't want them to be a unit, so they're not a unit. The fact that they look like a unit, they smell like a unit, doesn't make them a unit.
Well, you can't simply say that, okay, it's a unit, but it's halakhically a permissible unit that you could pull apart, as opposed to saying, because to me, it just defies logic.
Okay, so My Rebbe used to always tell me, you have to train your seichel to think like the seichel of the Torah. So what can I tell you? Rebbe says it doesn't make any sense. He says to you, it doesn't make any sense. The Torah makes sense. You have to learn to realize that how understand how the logic of the Torah makes sense. So you have to train your mind to think like the Torah. So
that's why I'm here.
Well, so I'm telling you an example of that that you're not thinking right. Okay, so now you know. Okay, listen. That's why you came, right?
This is why I came. This is true.
Okay,
think
about it. You'll think about it for a while. I had a chaver in yeshiva who used to tell me. He says, "You repeat what the rebbe just said 100 times, you'll start understanding it."
I don't think I have time to repeat it 100 times right now.
Not right now. Don't do it right now. I'll for sure now, please. Okay. Sif Dalet. Okay. Yesh li zoyer shalita betzbo b'mashkin al shulchan or be'efer. So there's some liquid spilled on the table. So the guy wants to dip his finger in the orange juice and make a letter with it. It's not going to last. It's not really permanent, but still, it's also to do that. Or a person wants to do that. There's ash here, and by moving his finger through, he makes the form of a letter. So it's eventually the wind, the stepping on, etc., is going to obliterate the letters, but it's not a permanent ksav in that sense. But it's still also to do it. I can draw in the air the idea of something which looks like letters to indicate you are, so I can go like this. And everyone knows that's it. If you can read my handwriting, right? It's an aleph, right? Or whatever. Doing it in the Ba'avar is mutter. Okay.
So you're saying essentially sign language is mutter.
Sign language is mutter. Yeah.
Because it's not, I guess it's not considered permanent in any way, shape, or form.
There's no act of ksiva. You didn't write anything.
Well, you just said you're writing in the air.
That's
so
not called writing. That's what we're saying. That's not called writing. Right. Okay. Now, a lot of Mishabura here. Let's start tackling the Mishabura. Yudkes. Yesh Yizor, Rucha Lermer, after Chiyuv Chatas Lekka. Okay, so it's not going to say, it's not Chayav Chatas. The Davka, the Bidin and Davka, Shita Badavka, Badio, O Bashar Dobra, Shkirtz, Bazashari Shuma Miskayim. Kilakame. It has to be something which is last. It has an element of permanency to it. But Mirabonon, it's also. And that's what we're saying. It's also to do these because Mirabonon, they're also. B'mashkin. R'tzolomer, Shetobel Betzbo, Be'ezem Mashka. He dipped his finger into some type of a liquid. B'kosted by Allah Shulchan. And he wrote on the table with that liquid. Who then on the yard, Uklav Kiyotzim, said the same thing would be true if he do it on a piece of paper if it's not going to last, the same thing. Okay. So the medium that you're using to write with and the material that you're writing on are both something which is lacking permanence. You're writing on a leaf. The leaf is going to wither and fall apart, and the writing over there is going to end. It's going to be obliterated. So it's not, it's a double enemies kayim, both regards to the what you're writing with and what you're writing on. So it's still also mirabonim.
Well, hold on. Even when you write on cloth, eventually the cloth will deteriorate and fall apart, and the writing will disintegrate. The question, I guess, is how long is considered, cloth obviously could last for 100 years or maybe even longer if it's properly taken care of. The leaf, on the other hand, will probably be gone in a couple of days or maybe weeks at most. But both, at least for a time, are somewhat permanent. So what's the distinction between...
So you're asking a good question. What's the definition of enemy miskayim? That's considered that it doesn't have an enemy miskayim. That's not clear. The Rambam seems to say it has to last less than 24 hours.
The leaf would probably last more than 24 hours, I would think.
That's a fair question on the Rambam. Um, that the but the you know the, there's a Rashi where there's others which seem to understand the definition of Miskayim is longer, and it doesn't give an exact amount of shear. Of time that it is, but you know what the numbers. I don't know the numbers. So we try and avoid the chaskila because according to Rambam the shear of Miskayim is for Shabbos. So one of the solutions that they use in Eretz Yisrael when they have to write. That's not true. They use an Eretz Yisrael. Now they do with computers and stuff like that. But they developed a type of an ink which doesn't last for 24 hours. So when they would have to take notes in the hospital, they would write with that, and then they would rewrite it right after Shabbos. They would rewrite it again before it fades.
Before it disintegrates. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Oh, be'efer. Hanush asarad betzbo to commit oisius be'efer. No, we have dry ash on the ground. Hudim mechol, you have sand, and you move your finger through it, and it creates the shape of a letter. That's the form of ksiva, which is also mirabonan. Can also lirshem commit oisius alchalon tzchukis b'me'akar shehem lachim in akar. So you writing in the frost on the window panes would be also you can't do. If you have a liquid like dam or chalev which is solidifying, and a person would write a letter in that, and then it hardens with the letter in that that he brings from the Tosefta, that case would be chayev. Okay, but you are allowed to be roshim ba'avir. You're allowed to make these forms in the air. You want to make a sign to somebody about something. Now, so why should we also? There's no act of ksiba in any way, shape, or form in that action. So why is it also? We could have argued it's mutter, but why would I think that it's also that I need to tell you it's mutter? I need to tell you you're allowed to eat on Shabbos. No, it's not a chiddush. You're allowed to eat on Shabbos, right? Well. But I'm not doing ksiba, so what's the chiddush? Well, I mean, the ma'amin yadav l'ksiba al yadizah. Maybe we should have argued you're training yourself how to write letters. So it should be also gzeirot, you might come to write. So we don't say that. Okay. Within the mutaliris umnas b'shabas alvagav shem alamda. So the chredim say, so based on this thought process that we're not worried about that possibility, I can watch somebody doing a malach on Shabbos, even though I want to learn how to do it, and by watching him, I am committing to memory the process of how to do it. But that's mutter. Okay, menira dahino dafka bakroish is damal aliris. Now, how Mishabura says so this issue is we're talking about a goy doing it, not talking about a yid doing it, because obviously you shouldn't be standing there watch idly enjoying how the Jew is doing Chilul Shabbos, right? Well, he's doing such a good job driving that car. I want to watch, you know. So you should say, you know, that. But let's say Goy's doing it. And you're watching how he's doing it. Well, so I'm not allowed to make an arrangement with him to do that. Like, I'll come and watch. Every Shabbos, I'll come watch while the Goy is doing this malacha.
Maybe he's bricklayer. He's laying bricks for building a house.
Okay, yeah. So I happen to be there, I can watch. You can't discuss it with him. You can't discuss malacha. To go specifically to the guy's house for the purpose of watching him do a malacha. Okay. So that's Osir. So the same way you cannot discuss malach on Shabbos, you cannot make arrangements for malach on Shabbos. Well, if I need to learn a certain umnas, and I'm basically making the arrangement of coming here to watch, to learn this umnas, so that's a form of the equivalent of discussing a malach on Shabbos is also to do. I cannot learn the malach on Shabbos either. So I happen to be there and I want to watch. I'm allowed to watch.
If you're reading, let's say you need to learn something to do with computers. There are many computer books.
So you should not read it on Shabbos.
So, but it seems as if in other words, if a goy would be practicing that particular, I'll call it computer programming technique in front of you, that you could watch, but you couldn't read the same thing from a book?
Right.
But
if you hear that he's doing it and you want to go watch him, you can't go watch him because you can't make the decision. If you happen to be there, you're allowed to watch. But if you decide to go there to watch him, you can't. So opening a book is the same thing as deciding to go there.
Uh-huh.
That's what I just said, right?
Okay.
The Avir. Okay, now who are then in Merlech Betzbo Al Daf Noguv Kein Sir Sarsis Gamkein Shari Kimish Henry Shuman Nicker Club. So I want not only do I want to do it on the air, I want to do it on the table. There's nothing on the table. I'm just going like this on the table. I'm writing letters on the table. Well, that's not. There's not. If I don't do anything at all to the table, nothing happens. That's also mutter. Lodomin Lamashkin Vafer. That's the point of the Taz points out. So if there's no. Okay. Same. So, a few other examples of this would be: I want to make shapes of letters with my hands. I want to make different things in the sun. Make shade. You know, make letters in the shade or pictures in the shade. Right?
Right.
So the pasha, all those cases are mutter. There's no act of ksiva where there's nothing writing on it, etc. Okay. So they bring over here an interesting. Halacha in the Masech Dershu, which it's geshmak just to read about it because we get to date ourselves. L'hachnis shkufiyos l'makrein sheyadol doylek mi'arv Shabbos kei l'hakrinon agabi akir b'kadoima.
You're going to have to translate that one.
I'm going to in a second. L'hachnis daf kosuv l'matul shkufim sheyadolek mi'arv Shabbos. So he brings to an instant correlate that goes in the ksiv v'shenim iskayem it's also mid-rabbon. Shem Levi says there's no way to curse him at all, but it's also to do it because there's a zilzal kavod Shabbos. So I have a slide projector, and I put it on before Shabbos. So the light is on from before Shabbos. And you know, I want to put the slide in, which will then project the picture on the wall. So that also to do on Shabbos. I'm not doing any malacha at all. I'm just putting the slide in, taking the slide out, and then put the next slide in, the next slide out.
It's still an active.
Or I have an overhead projector, and I want to put the transparency with whatever's pictures on it or words are on it, and I want to put it in there, and it's going to project onto the wall. So can I use an overhead projector on Shabbos?
So
he brings from Ritzin Karel's holds it sir. And the Revozner holds its mutter, but it's zilzul kavod Shabbos. Shem Zalman said it's mutter. So he brings the three opinions over here. I'm enjoying very much these words, shkufios and lemakrein. And lemakrein means it projects a light. And shkufios are these things which are shakuf, they're transparent.
Yeah.
So transparency, so that's the Hebrew word for slides. I haven't heard that word, I can have my Talmidim read this piece. I have no idea what they're talking about. What are slides? What's a slide projector? What's an overhead projector? Like the whole
thing doesn't
exist anymore.
They're all obsolete.
You know, I said you go down to the Smithsonian and you'll watch it. Anyway, that's why I just enjoyed the piece over here. Okay, let's hold it over here. I see Moshe is in a state of frustration.